thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
So I believe the greatest, most powerful way to simplify our lives is to begin this practice that I'm going to talk about right now. And it's this: writing God's word on your heart. The most powerful practice that you can engage in is writing God's word on your heart. I don't know if you have you ever hung a picture on the wall and you've been too lazy to go get a level? You're laughing because you have been. And so you hang the picture on the wall and you get it all situated, and then you leave the room, then you come back and you look at the picture and you think, maybe it's a little crooked, and you adjust a little bit more, and then you go and you come back and then maybe you adjust it wrong the other way. And you constantly, something's constantly not right. It never really looks right. And you just can't seem to get it straight, or to even know if your straight is actually straight. Maybe your eyeballs are crooked or something, and you just, everything's always crooked. How are you ever supposed to do that? This is why it pays off to get a level in the first place. Because this, now you can rest assured that the picture is actually straight, whether it looks it or not. There's this sense of confidence that, you know what, I put a level on it and it's straight. And this is a metaphor for us, for living, for our lives. We are the crooked picture frame. And God's word is the level that we need. It's what's going to keep us level in life. I was on the way back from California this morning. I was sitting down and there was this gentleman sitting here. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to say something to him. And it was simply this. It was simply, I told him this, I feel like God wants you to know that he's going to give you great favor today. So I just shared that with him. And he was like, he goes, well, I'm a Christian. And he goes to Saddleback Church, actually, Rick Warren's church. And he goes, you know, I was just reading the word of God. And he said, man, I need the word of God in this crazy world. It's the only thing that keeps me grounded. And going with the story, he was actually going for a really big sales pitch in Denver today. And so that brought him comfort, that he felt like God just wanted to let him know that God's with him, he's going to give him favor. But the reality is this, that the word of God makes us level. The word of God grounds us. It's the only thing in the world that can do it. Psalm 119, we're going to read verses 9 through 16, which speaks of the decrees of the Lord. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all of my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. There's another statement about the decrees of God. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees, and I will not neglect your word. This is the cry of David's heart, that he knows this. God, your word is what keeps me on the pathway. It is the only thing that keeps me living a life of purity. You know, what's interesting, I hear a lot that, you know what, someone say, listen, this book holds the key to everyday lives. And I would say, yes, I agree. And when you read something like that, you're right. But what about everyday life? What about everyday life? What about the decisions you made today? Or I hear this, everything you need to know in life is found in this book. Really? Is that really what that statement means? Is like, what do I say to a hurting friend that I'm talking to? Where do I find, what chapter do I find that in? What do I tell them? Or do I discipline my child for an act of them just being rebellious? Or do I put my arms around them and show them mercy and show them grace? What Bible verse do I go to that? Or where should I go to college? Or what job should I take? Well, there is a book called Job that you could turn to, actually, and look at. But or this, should I eat this piece of chocolate cake? These very small things in life, or should I switch jobs, or what should I do with my life, or where do I start to try to patch up rocky relationships? How do I find these specific things? And here's the reality. The Bible doesn't tell us specific things. But it does give us principles to make those decisions by. It gives us a filter. It gives us filters like peace. Like if we just have a peace that we need to probably say this, or we just have this sense, or are we acting in patience? Does the Bible move, or are we processing in contentment with our job, or with our spouse, or with our children? The reality is that God leads us by His Spirit, and we were made as individuals with unique gift sets. And so everything that we do, we're going to be filtering the Word of God through us. But because all of us come to forks in the road. I don't know about you. I've come to a lot of forks in my road. And what do we do at the forks of the road? How do we approach them? Maybe some of you tonight are facing decisions that you do not know what road to take. It's a fork in the road. There it is. What am I going to do? We face 1,000 decisions every day. And here's the question. Is it always possible to take the right path? Is it always possible that every fork in the road, let me just get my Bible out here and just see this one. And you go, is that really possible? I'm leaving it as a question just for you to think through for a moment. I had an old pastor friend of mine said this. He says, Jason, listen, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Which simply means this, make sure you don't get paralyzed with indecision. Learn to listen to the still small voice in your heart and learn to allow the Word of God to direct you and lead you. I've had to make many of these types of decisions in my life, and as I was preparing for this, the most recent one was us coming back here to the church, but one of them was about 5 years ago, Cheryl and I had decided to step out of my position here at the church and pursue full-time missions and to pursue the restlessness of our hearts. And this journey of a fork in the road, I could have stayed or I could have gone. And something in me said there was a peace that was leading us, but it was a new kind of journey. It was a journey of faith. It's a journey to walk a road that we haven't walked before. It's a journey to trust in the provision of God outside of what I saw in my bank account. And it literally felt like God was inviting us to scoot out on the edge of a tree limb, and then He handed us a saw and said, now cut on the tree side. That's really what it felt like. And it was a journey for us. And so we decided to do it. We were scared, but something in us gave us great peace. And we were reminded of Philippians 4:7. I know you know it. It says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. In other words, just the peace of God can lead you when you doesn't look like you should have peace. When your whole circumstances around you are screaming at you and telling you you shouldn't have peace, what are you doing? Deep down inside, there is this peace that transcends all understanding. And so we continued to walk forward. But we needed the word of the Lord to say, listen, follow the peace in your heart. And we also had the promise from Proverbs 16:9 that this, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Because I think this, God, what if I'm wrong? Have you ever thought that? When you went to make a decision, God, what if I'm wrong? Well, according to the scripture, that a man plans his course. That's what God's called us to do, to plan the course, to engage our lives in faith. But the Lord is the one who determines our steps. Or in Psalms, it says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. What is, if the steps of a righteous man are order of the Lord, how am I going to take steps? I'm going to have to start walking. I'm going to have to start moving. I'm going to have to start engaging my life. And so I turn to the Word of God to begin to say, God, is this really what you're saying to us? So is it possible to always pick the right path? I'm going to say something to you. No. I don't think it is. But is it possible that as you follow God through faith, that He can direct your steps and you will end up where you need to be when you need to be there? Yes. It's this engagement of God that we look to His Word to lead us and to guide us. Whatever you're facing today, most of us are paralyzed with indecision. We are. Because what if it's wrong? What if it's this? And what if it's that? And what? Listen, we have the same Spirit of Christ in us that raised Him from the dead. The same Spirit of God in us that raised Christ from the dead. And so there is this engagement that God says, hey, listen, just trust me. Walk, follow me. Let my word speak to you. Let my word guide you. And so I want to look at two things tonight about our journey of letting God's word lead us. And the first one is this. There is a path of purity. As you looked in the first line of what we read out of Psalms, it talks about if you want to live a life of purity, and it starts laying out, follow the decrees, follow the truth, follow the precepts. So there is a path of purity. At every fork in the road or every decision that you're facing along the way, there is one path that is pleasing to the Lord, which is the path of purity. Let me explain. It's a purity of motives. It's a purity of heart. It's a purity of spirit. No matter what decision we're facing, we can always take the path of purity. We can always do it. We can always set down a road that is a road that honors the Lord. It's a road that we've went over everything. God, do I sense your peace? God, do I feel like your word is speaking to me? God, do I feel like you're drawing me to that? And God, I'm stepping out, not because I want to, not because I'm running from something, but because I feel like you're drawing me to something. And so we can always choose the path of purity. We can have some paths here that we're going to look at. We can have the path of financial purity, which we should have that, which is the right perspective on what we have and what we don't have. The right perspective of who owns your possessions. They're not yours. They're God's. And that is our posture of our heart. It's a posture of purity. We can have the purity in our finances by getting out of debt, by not being a slave to the lender. In the back of our minds, there's always this lender that's nagging because it doesn't feel pure. That doesn't feel peaceful. Listen, I've been there. I understand. And so the pathway of purity in our finances is becoming and getting things into order. Another one is this, simply this living below our means. That is a path of financial purity. Why? How do I know this? Because when you read the Word of God, you find these principles that God doesn't want you to be a slave to the lender. That God wants you to be wise with what you have. That God wants you to have the right perspective on what you actually have in your hands. This is the path of financial purity, and the Word of God determines that. The Word of God speaks that to us. Second one is this. There is a path that leads to moral purity as well. Simply this, being faithful to your spouse. It's moral purity, making a decision. Well, how do you know that's a pathway of purity? Because the Word of God says that. It's a principle, not just sexually, but visually, verbally, emotionally. Or maybe it's about being a person of your word. Maybe it's about when you say something, people have a hard time believing you, and so there's not a moral purity. And how... Well, why should I need, I'm just exaggerating. Well, the Word of God says to let no falsehood come from your mouth. And so the Word of God has these principles that we can align on. So every fork we face, every decision we face, every day, there is an answer. And it is always the pathway of purity. Or maybe it's what we allow ourselves to watch, what we allow ourselves to listen to. Things, if they're not life-giving, then the Word of God speaks to that. We're to fill our soul is the wellspring of life, and what we allow. I heard this, garbage in, garbage out. That's not the pathway of moral purity. Or maybe God's challenging you to stop being manipulative. Because when we begin to manipulate, we enter a realm that Scripture calls the realm of witchcraft. You know, whoa, Jason, this is heavy. But this is the journey that God calls us on through the filter of His Word. Another one is this, that He can lead us on the path that leads to emotional purity. Maybe it's working through your anger issues. Maybe it's making a decision that you're going to change. Or it's a path that leads to physical purity, which involves things like maybe not eating food that's bad for you all the time. The Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul says that bodily exercise profiteth little, but it does profit something. Maybe this is a time that God's challenging you through His Word to bring up the purity level in your life. Maybe it's a path that leads to vocational purity. What you do, what you use your hands with, or your mind, or what you get paid to do. Maybe God's challenging you to show up to work on time. To be an advocate for your boss instead of a thorn in his or her side. Or maybe God's leading us to a path that leads to spiritual purity, which involves carving out time to spend with God and in His Word every day. Maybe it's taking care of people around you. Maybe it involves listening when God whispers and doing what He asks you to do every time. Maybe it's a path that leads to family purity, which simply is this: prioritizing our conversations, getting off our phones, and spending time with our children or our spouses, putting the remote down, turning the TV off, and having purity in our homes, purity with our relationships. Maybe it's going to your son or daughter's game. Maybe it's just bringing this level of purity into your relationship with your children. Maybe it's gathering them together and praying together every day, even if it's for 10 seconds. Bring a level of purity. Why? Because all of these things, the Word of God gives us the principles on how to live our lives and how to implement that into our lives. At every fork in the road, there is a pathway that is available that will always honor the Lord. There always will be. And even when we honor God, but here's the reality. All of us know our lives are too complicated. Listen, we don't have enough time to do anything. What's the biggest excuse? I just don't have time. You want to come over for dinner? I don't have time. You want to hang out? I don't have time. We say it all the time. We go to work. We don't have time. We're on our phones. We don't have time. We're always running everywhere. But this is the point I really want you to understand. When we begin to honor God with these choices and these principles, all of a sudden our lives don't become more complex. They actually become simpler and easier to manage. Because now there's only one pathway. You come to the fork in the road, what do? Which way is the pathway of purity? Which way is the pathway that God wants me to choose? All the rest of it is just fluff. It's just a world. Get rid of it and let's be people that pursue purity. The world has 10 different ways to approach something. They most have to do with manipulation. Most of them have to do with, you know what, maybe I'll get my way if I go around this side and talk to this person, go back around this side and talk to this person. But then they have to remember everything they said to everybody else, so life gets crazy complicated. I don't know if you've ever known someone who was manipulating, and all of a sudden you realize they were caught in the middle of something, and they're trying to just kind of just excuse away this conversation or that conversation, or this happened, or this really didn't happen, I didn't really say it that way. Man, life gets complicated. But if you choose the pathway of purity, life gets incredibly focused and simple. So let's choose the path of purity. I believe that's what God has for us. Once we choose the path of purity, it's important that we know this, and this is the second point tonight, is that we can stay on the path of purity. I think that's one of the biggest challenges. We think, great, Jason, purity's great, yes, but listen, hey, Jason, just FYI, I'm broken, and I want you to know this. Hey, you just need to know something. I'm broken, too. And pathways of purity are pathways. I don't have the willpower to do this. I don't know if I can. I'm hurt so bad, and people have disappointed me, and I, you know, all of this stuff, and I'm in debt up to my eyeballs, and what am I supposed to do? Wait a minute. You can stay on the path of purity, not by works, not by your intelligence, not because of how good you are, but only, I want you to hear this, only by the grace of God alone that He's given you through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's the only way you can stay on the pathway of purity. Nothing else will work. Nothing else. Only by God's grace. And so do you understand, just for a moment, what grace is? It's this whole idea of God's grace. I'll never forget. And the difference between grace and mercy, I was just talking to my son about this. We were driving, and I was just chatting with him. But I went on a trip to Thailand several years ago with 30 high school students, and we took them there. And we were at the end of the trip, and at the end of the trip, we went to this town, and we stayed in a hotel for two nights, kind of to debrief, and we prayed together, and we did some fun stuff around the area. But we had a curfew. And so one of the nights, we broke the group up into like fours and fives, and there was always an older person. So anyway, one of the nights, the group came in late. And so obviously, I was the youth pastor, and I was like, go to your beds. We'll talk to you tomorrow about it. So went through the beds, came out, talked to them, called them all in a room. There was four of them. And I feel like the Lord said, show them grace. Now, mercy would be saying, listen, you broke the rules, you messed up, you're not going to be punished. That's mercy. But grace is something else. Grace is ridiculous. So they came in the room. I said, guys, did you break the rules? Yes. What were the consequences? I don't remember what they were. They said, it's this, this, and this. I said, I'm going to show you mercy. I'm not going to punish you. They were like, oh, yeah. I mean, I think it was, they had to do like push-ups and they wouldn't be able to do something else. And I said, but I'm also going to show you grace. And they looked at me. And there were four of them. And I gave each one of them a $50 bill. And I said, this is grace. One of them said this, I'm not taking that. Like, what are you going to do to me? And I said, no, this is grace. And we didn't, this journey we are on is not because you didn't mess up or you maybe you did and God showed you mercy. It is by the grace of God. He extravagantly lavished His love on you because of His grace. Yes, you didn't get what you deserved, but you also got what you didn't deserve. It's by His grace. So if you've fallen from the pathway of purity, then I'm telling you, accept His grace, His forgiveness, and begin again. Make your decision today to change and to accept His grace. Let Him slide a $50 bill across the table to you and take that sucker. That's grace. So thinking of the Word of God, the more we read the truth of the Word of God, the more it changes us, the more it shapes us. You show me a man or a woman who lives a pure life, and I will show you a man or a woman who is grounded in God's Word and spends time with God daily. I guarantee you. You show me a man or a woman who lives a life of purity. Their attitude is in check. They have a sense of peace and kindness about them. You go to any of their relationships and you see that there's a sense of grace and humility. Something is there that's intangible. That there's a presence when they're around that you just feel safe and secure. You show me that person, I'll show you a person who spends every day reading God's Word or in prayer with the Lord. It's through this communion. But truth has an order. If you're taking notes, then write this down. If you're not taking notes, then write this down. Truth, the truth of God's word has an order. Not an odor, an order. That's what I meant to say. And knowing Scripture does not mean you know God. It's very important that you understand that. Knowing Scripture does not mean that you know God. Because if that was the case, the Pharisees would have been the most spiritual people of their time. They knew God's word frontwards and backwards. Listen, I've known people who know the Bible more than me. And let me tell you, they were jerks. And they would slay you with their words and their legalism. And you left there thinking, I'm horrible. God doesn't love me. I'm a failure. So knowing Scripture does not mean you know God. People know the book and they can quote the book backwards and forwards. But here's the key. They don't know the author. They know the book, but they don't know the author. There was a... And this is all in the point of there is an order of the truth. But there was a protester out here many, many years ago. I think it was our Easter service. And I just thought it'd be fun just to go talk to him because I kind of like stuff like that. So I went out there and I said, hey, why are you here? He says, because you guys are preaching the false gospel. And I said, what's that? He goes, it's the gospel of grace. I said, oh. Can you tell me in the Bible where the gospel, that's somehow that God doesn't forgive and grace is speaking of that God lavished himself upon? Can you tell me in the Bible? He just said, you're deceived. Okay, but can you just tell me? You're a heretic. Okay, I'm just asking you, can you? And then he cursed at me. And I thought, oh. And then I left and I thought this man, he may have known the Bible, but he did not know the author at all. And his truth was out of order. It was totally out of order. And so the foundation, this is what he had missing. He missed the point, which was Jesus. So the foundation of the right order is Jesus. It starts with Jesus. Truth actually has an order. And there are building blocks for truths. Because if you think about it, cults many times are built on one truth, one scripture, or one passage, and they leave out the context of everything else. And then they start spinning stuff, and that's so manipulative that a cult is formed. And they'll say, it's based on truth. Yes, but it is truth out of order. And so, what is the key to really knowing truth? As you read the Word of God, and just simply this, truth isn't like a bingo wheel that you just turn and you reach in and whatever you pull out is truth. It's just not, there's context matters. Truth matters. And so this is the answer that I want us to understand tonight. Intimacy and submission to Jesus brings revelation to the Word of God. Jesus is the key. The Word of God, it's as you read it, the whole idea is it is revealing the majesty and the beauty and the power of Jesus. It's revealing the love of Jesus, revealing the grace of Jesus. That is the key to understanding the Word of God. And the Word of God must be the foundation of our lives, no exceptions. If we want a simpler life, if you want your mind to be focused, if you want things to kind of just come to a rest in your own spirit and heart, then let's allow the Word of God to be the center of everything we do. No exceptions. It's the filter of every decision. The Word of God is handled correctly, always provokes change, and always provokes rest. It's just how it is. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. When it is handled correctly, this is the result. All Scripture, when it is handled correctly, with Jesus being the foundation, it's God-breathed and is used for teaching. So some people try to use it based out of another context of God not being forgiving and graceful. And they use teaching or rebuking and correcting. It's kind of their sword and their right to tell you off in the name of Jesus. And that's not right. And sometimes if you grow up in that legalism, if you grow up in a world where everything you do is scrutinized, if you think of church as something that they're out to get you, or they're out to shut you down, or they're out to not allow you to fulfill your dreams, or you've had bad experiences with pastors who were just domineering and authoritative, and they didn't allow you to flourish and be who Jesus wanted you to be. When you read this, you think, oh yeah, I've been taught, I've been rebuked, I've been corrected, I've been trained for righteousness. But that's the wrong spirit. That's the wrong spirit. This legalism is something I had to work through in my own life. I grew up in a legalistic church. Even from a young age, I had to deal with it. My pastor was into making sometimes, it's a mixed bag, because I was filled with the Holy Spirit in that church, and God met me there just by His grace, and I was saved at the age of 5 and speaking in tongues at the age of 6. It was just amazing experience. But my pastor, one day, I was sitting there chewing gum. He stops preaching, and he has me come forward and put the gum on the pulpit, because you weren't supposed to chew gum in church. And so I thought, I've been rebuked. I had to work through this. The grace of God. He loves me. He cares for me. I'm His son. He would never call me out and humiliate me. He would never do that. This is not what this is talking about. This is through filter this through the cross of Jesus, that all Scripture bathed in Jesus is God-breathed and useful for teaching. In other words, making you better, rebuking you. In other words, getting things out of your life that are going to hinder you from living a life that's worth living. Correcting. In other words, helping you to straighten things out and training. Why? So that you can continue to live a life of righteousness. That's actually the only life that's worth living. James 1:23-25, speaking of the Word of God, says, anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. What does the law do? It gives freedom. See, what does the law do? Gives freedom. It's funny, sometimes we don't see that, because all of us got a little legalistic person inside of us. And continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it. They will be blessed in what they do. It's just the powerful understanding. We as the body of Christ, you and me, my friends, that God is calling us to read the Bible, to study the Word of God, to simplify our lives, and to read the Word systematically, to read it diligently for the purpose of direction and the revelation of Jesus. Because I don't know about you, I want to know more about this Jesus that I serve. I want to know more about this Jesus that I've committed my life. I want to know more about His secrets and what He's saying and where He's inviting me to go. Who is He inviting me to be? What He wants, what needs to fall off of my life so I can be where my heart burns to be. John 5:39, very interesting passage here. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and they're reading the Scripture. They're studying it. And He says this, you diligently study the Scriptures because you think that in them you will have eternal life. So what is He saying? He's saying the eternal life is not found in Scriptures alone. But these are the very Scriptures that testify about Me. So He says, you study the Scriptures because in them you think you will find eternal life. Hey, boys, you need to know something. Eternal life is found in Me. And when you read the Scriptures, they're actually speaking about Me. And God wants to reveal Himself through the Word. Jesus is the key. He's the foundation of Scripture. When you read it, you are reading the secrets about Jesus Himself, about His character, about His life, and how we are to live our lives. and how we are to choose the path of purity. God has secrets. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. He has deep truths he wants you to know. He wants you to hear them. He invites us to a deeper place. And he wants to tell you his secrets. What's the great thing about close relationships is this: your secrets are safe with that person. You can share with them the secrets of your heart, the dreams of your heart, the visions of your heart, and they're safe with them. God wants to share with you his secrets. And so may God lead us to the place that we would take some time and we'd spend it with Jesus and get to know him. In closing, I'll just tell you this story. There was a young man who was graduating from Bible college. And this was a very well-known Bible college. And the president of the college called this young man in his office. And he sat the young boy who was graduating that year in front of him. Very intimidating. This young man had a call on his life. And the president of the college said, he said something very softly. And the boy said, "Excuse me, sir." And he said it again. And the boy leaned, and the president said, "Come closer." And he kept whispering. He said, "Closer." He kept whispering. He said, "Closer." Until the boy was right up against his face. And the boy, awkward, is standing there staring at the president's face. And the president leans over to the boy's ear, and he says this: "God doesn't shout his secrets. He whispers them. And you have to be close enough to hear them." The Word of God brings us closer to the heart of our Father so that we can hear his secrets. Let's pray.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.